Let's pray together. Amen, Lord. That's a good prayer. We agree with it. That You could rise up, Lord. That You would increase. Lord, that we would decrease. I pray that for this message, Lord, that I could decrease, that I could just be out of the way, Lord, and that You could be high and lifted up. That You could be seen for who You are, Lord. We could all catch a fresh glimpse of Your greatness and of our neediness. God, take my words, I pray, and wing them to many a heart. And let this message be something that changes our lives, Lord. That transforms us into Your image. The most beautiful image, the most beautiful being of all the world, of all the universe. Draw us, Lord, to Yourself. We give You this time right now. We thank You for being here with us and speaking to our hearts today. We welcome You, Lord. And we acknowledge You in all our ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Greetings to you all this morning. In that perfect name of Jesus. It's a blessing to be back here with you. I was gone last week, and it's good to be back home again. And thank you for those of you who prayed for us as we went. We had a beautiful experience last weekend in Allen County there. Teaching on teaching about God and what He's like and what effect should that have on our homeschooling. And we had a good time as a family. It was a real encouraging season for us, stretching. It's good to be back here. Welcome to all the visitors today and all the non-visitors. Praise God, it's good to be with you. Well, we heard already this morning about how God gives gifts and how we should give gifts. And I'd like to talk about one of the good gifts that God desires to give everybody today. And also about how He wants us to give that gift to other people. You know, sometimes we wonder, all Christians, all people that are born again, truly saved, we want to know God's will for our life, don't we? I mean, isn't that one of the first things that we... Lord, tell me what to do. I just want to serve You, God. Let me know what Your will is. I know when I was a new Christian, I got saved when I was about 24. And I didn't really have much of a purpose in my life before that. I just lived for myself and for pleasure, fun, whatever. But after I got saved, I wanted to know what was God's will for my life. I needed to know that. And I began to pursue that. And I'd like to talk with us today about something that is God's will for every single one of our lives. It's something beautiful and something powerful. It's something like God. It's something guaranteed to bring a blessing to you if you have it, and something that if you don't have it, likewise, you're guaranteed to suffer loss. Some of you may know what I'm going to speak about or know where I'm going. I've been talking about honor with the brothers. And that's what I'd like to talk with all of us today about. Honor is God's will for your life. Honor is God's will for your life and mine. There's no doubt about it. I think we're going to see that today. It's God's will for you to get it, for you to receive it, and it's God's will for you to give it to other people. It's a beautiful part of who God is. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 3:18. This verse talks about the glory of God. And there's other verses that talk about praise to God. I believe praise is honor that is verbalized. Glory is honor outshining. It says, we'll start in verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. One of the wonderful things about God is the more you look at Him, the more you gaze at Him, the more you become like Him, according to this verse here. And I know it's true. As we look upon Him with open face, not with guilt, not with condemnation, with faith, receiving, we are changed into the same image, the image of God. He changes us as we look at Him. You become like what you look at and what you give honor to, give worth to. And it says, as we behold His glory, we're changed into the same image. God wants to give each one of us His glorious image. That's His plan. That's His purpose. If we want to... might be getting ahead of myself here. Let's just put on the board a definition for honor. What is this thing we're talking about today? Honor. A decision. Something you decide, something you do with your will. A decision to place high value, worth, and importance on another. That's the verb of honor. It's a decision to place high value, worth, and importance on another. Isn't that what God has done to man? He decided to do something thousands of years ago. He decided to place high value, worth, and importance on men, on His creatures. It's a part of His nature. Who is more important than God? I mean, He is honor. He's honor in person, in who He is. What'd you say?
Incarnate.
Yes, yeah, Jesus Christ, honor incarnate. He's honor. It's His essence. He just is honorable. He is worth everything. He is all valuable. He is all important. He's so important that if He wasn't here, that this universe, it says, He holds together the atoms and molecules of the whole world. In Him, all things consist. He's that important. He holds everything together. Every particle of this universe is held together by God. That sounds pretty important to me. And He's important in our lives, isn't He? He holds us together. I wouldn't want to try to hold myself together. I tried that already. It didn't work. No, He's worthy of all honor, value, and worth. There's nothing we have in our life more valuable than God. And you know, it says in the Bible that forever and ever, we're going to say blessing, honor, and glory be unto Him that sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb. We're going to acknowledge that honor. We're going to give it forever and ever. Revelation chapter 5 and 13, it says, "And they said with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, and honor, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing, honor, and glory and power be unto Him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever.'" Revelation 4:11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For You have created all things, and for Your pleasure they are and were created." Honor is just who God is, and it's what He deserves. And forever and ever, we're going to honor Him. We're going to praise Him. We're going to verbalize our honor to Him with praise. And we get to be a part of that. It says in Philippians chapter 2, "Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And let's just turn there for a minute. Every tongue is going to give honor to Jesus Christ. Every tongue. Every knee shall bow to Jesus Christ. It says every. That means everything. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, in the next verse, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." My prayer for this message today is that God would work in me and in you the will to pursue honor in our lives. Did you know it's not wrong to pursue honor? We're going to look at that in a minute. In fact, God's looking for people like that. But also, the will to give honor, to be an honoring person. That's my prayer, that God would give us the will today. You've got to have the will first. That's what it says. It says God works in us both to will and to do. And then as the days go by and the weeks and days come, then that God would give us the do. He would make us that way. The first thing we have to have is the will. And you know, I just want to encourage us. Sometimes we have the will to do something and we don't have the do yet. And we get discouraged because we think, when am I ever going to do? I really want it. It says here that God works in you both to will and to do. So if you have the will, that's a good sign that God's already working. And then the do is going to come because it says He works not just to will, but He works to will and to do. So that ought to encourage us this morning in whatever it is that He's working in your life in. He causes us, it is God that works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So I'd like to lift up the glory of God today and the honor of God so we can see it and be captivated with Him and see that it's a beautiful thing and see that I want to be like You, God. I want to be like You are. First point of this message is that honor is a trait of God. It's a part of His nature. I forgot to name my first point before I started, but that's what we've been doing here. God, honor is a trait of God. It's a part of His nature. It's who He is. He is all honorable. We know that. But the second point now is honor is God's will for you. Hebrews 2:10 says, "For it became Him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." God's plan is to bring many sons into His glory, into His honor. If you turn with me to Psalm 8. Let's just look at this from the Old Testament. Actually, the beginning of creation. Psalm chapter 8. We don't understand everything about God. We don't know how He does everything or why He does everything. But this verse here gives us a clue about why He made men. Psalms 8 talks about how God made everything and how He put man in charge of it all. It says, verse 4, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor." That's in the Old Testament. That's speaking about Adam. God made him a little lower than the angels. Actually, in the Hebrew, that word means He made him like God. If you look that up in a concordance. He gave him the nature or the qualities of God. None of the beasts had that. God gave to us the ability to think and reason, the ability to love, the ability to create and do things, amazing things. And so we see from creation and from this particular verse especially, that God's plan for man was honor. He wanted to share Himself with man. He gave us His nature. It's a part of who He is. And we know what man did with it. Rather than choosing honor, he chose his own honor. He lost everything he had. He lost the garden. He lost the image of God. And then he came to take on the image and likeness of the devil. And we know world history is the story of man's dishonor, really. The dishonor of man. What happened to man after he chose not to go for honor that God wanted to give? God wanted man to be honored. That's why He made him. It says He crowned him with glory and honor. Satan came along and deceived. He chose to place high value, worth, and importance on another. He chose to honor man. He gave him the highest place he could in his creation. All the animals were under his feet. Everything was beneath him. He gave him his own qualities and his own ability to think and create and do. He chose to give honor. That's the kind of God we serve. He didn't just hold it all to himself. He didn't just say, "I'm so great and so honorable," you know. No, he's a loving God. He wants to share that blessing. And it says He wants to bring many sons into glory. Honor is God's will for your life and mine. Let me explain that. In Romans chapter 8, it says we're predestinated to what? Go to heaven? Be conformed into the image of His Son. That tells us that every person who gives his heart to the Lord has a predestination of being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Can you think of a greater honor than that? I can't. When I read about Jesus in the Bible, I just am struck with this man is who I want to be. This man is perfect. He's everything mankind could ever aspire to be. God gives gifts, Ben. And He gives good ones. And I can't think of a better gift than that, can you? He wants us to become like Him. Honor is God's will for you. Number 3 point. And now God is looking for men and women who are seeking for honor. I'll read it to you. John chapter 5. Normally when we think of honor, we think, well, we shouldn't be seeking that because that's prideful. And that's true. That in that sense that we all understand that. But I'm talking about another sense here. And God's sense. John chapter 5 verse 44 says, "How can you believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?" You know, this thing's so important that Jesus says, you can't even believe if you're not going to seek the honor that comes from God. Our problem is we get sidetracked and we seek the honor of men, right? That's the story of men. Just stay right there for a moment. I want to read one other verse in John. In chapter 12, it says, "If any man serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. God wants to honor us. It says that He honors those who serve and seek His will and the Lord Jesus Christ. God's looking for men who seek the honor that comes from God only. One more verse along that line, Romans chapter 2 and verse 6 and 7. It's speaking about... I'll just let it speak for itself. Verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. God's looking for men and women who are seeking, it says here, for glory, honor, and immortality. And it says He's going to give them eternal life. We show forth that by patient continuance and well-doing. God's looking for people who are seeking for honor. God made us to want honor. That's why we search for it in so many weird places. Because it's in there. There's something in us that recognizes that honor is a good thing. It's a right thing. It's something that God put in us. But where do we go to find it? You know, without Christ, we're looking in all the wrong places. We're looking for it from each other. You know, I want to be honored as a man who's rich, or as a man who's good looking, or a lady that's good looking, or I want to be honored as somebody who can do some great thing. Maybe a sports figure or whatever it might be. We can name all the other ways. You know, we all know. And all of us have done it. And sometimes maybe we still do it. We seek the honor that comes from men. It's a counterfeit. We settle for a counterfeit. God wanted to give a good gift. And we settle for one of these cheap things that is no good. Let's just think about three of them. As it says in Matthew chapter 6. When you pray, don't do it in front of all the people. It says if you do that, you already received your reward. You already got your honor. If you stand up in the corner and make a big show and do it to be seen of men, it says you did get some honor. But guess what? It was the counterfeit. No, God says, do it in secret, and your Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. God wants to reward. He wants to give honor. He wants to honor us. That's a little example of how we can settle for the fake instead of going for the real thing. Same thing with fasting, right? And giving. Jesus said the same thing. You men, you do it to be seen of men, and you already got your little cheap, lousy reward that lasted for a few seconds, felt a little bit good, and now it's gone. When you could have had something from God. He could have given you a blessing that would last, something that would be life-changing. Let's not settle for those things. God's looking for people who are seeking the real thing, the real honor. He said in 1 Samuel 2:30, them that honor me, I'll honor. God says, I will honor people. Those who honor me, I'm going to honor them. God is looking for men and women who seek the honor that comes only from God. God's will for your life is honor. And He's looking for those who in patient continuance and well-doing show forth that they are seeking for glory and honor and immortality. All the world is seeking not for immortality and glory and honor. They're seeking for something here and now, and you know, give me the good feelings, give me the pleasures, give me the honor now. But God's looking for those people who are seeking the real thing, the eternal thing. All right. Next point. Point four. Honor is not just something you get, but it's something that you give. Just like God, He not only receives all glory and honor, but He gives it. He chooses to give it to other people. Just think about how He honors you and I so many times. We don't deserve all that. We don't deserve any of it. But He chooses to honor us in different ways. I mean, answering our prayers. Answering our prayer, driving home, my lights are not working and I'm going to have to stay in a motel. God honors people because He's an honoring God. Not because we're perfect. Not because we got it all together. What a God we serve. And He wants us to be like Him. To be someone who exudes honor to other people. Not because they deserved it, but because it's like God. How do we let God work this into the fabric of our being so that it flows out to other people? You know, first of all, when we were all in our dead in our sins, we were not honorable at all, were we? I mean, I don't want to hear what you used to do, and I don't want to tell you what I used to do. That's a shameful thing. I'm glad God said He removes those things as far as the east is from the west. Praise God, He restores honor. I don't have to be. That doesn't have to define me anymore. I'm this whatever, pervert, this sinner. That's who I am. No, praise God, He takes away the dishonor. And He gives us honor. He says, you're a new creature now. You're made in My image. And that's where it begins, first of all. We could have no honor if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ and for the mercy of God. So yes, He takes away our shame. He takes away our dishonor. He takes away all that filth and vileness. And then He gives us a new nature, the nature of God. That's where it begins. And the bulk of this message, what I wanted to focus on is this point here, number four. It's not just something you get, but it's something that you give. As God gives honor to us, He restores us to our rightful place as a son of God. Not as a child of Adam. Not as a son of dishonor. Not as a slave of sin and a eternal shame. But He restores us to that place of God-likeness with His very nature inside of us. And then it's only natural for those things to start flowing out. You know, before I got saved, I was a very dishonoring person. Probably a lot of that was because I was dishonorable. I treated other people like I was. I could tell you things that I did and said and shameful things, you know, prideful things. I was a dishonoring man. But you know, something changed when God's nature came into me. And all of a sudden I began to see that there's something to this honor thing. There's something to this honor thing about honoring your parents. You know, I read that. And something inside my heart said, I want that in my life. I lived in another state when I got saved. And I had moved out for about a year. And the Lord said to me, you know, in my heart, call up your mother and father. Tell them about your dishonor. Confess it to them. So I did that. I asked them to forgive me. I confessed that I was a proud son and a dishonoring son. And would you forgive me? And they did. They said, oh yeah, we forgive you. Well, something started in my life that's still happening. I'm becoming a person of honor with God's grace. And it's His will for every one of us. And so He begins to touch our life in different areas. And we want to talk about those areas here. We're real practical today. He began to touch my life, you know, in my work. I was a dishonoring employee. In fact, I got fired from one of my jobs because I dishonored the boss. I didn't do what he said. He fired me. This is before I was saved. Could have easily been afterwards, I guess. But something, again, something happened in my heart that I wanted to be an honoring person. And he began to work that in me in jobs, different things, opportunities for me to learn honor in church life, in being under authorities, getting rid of that dishonor towards the police and things like that that I used to have. And this is a big deal. It's a big deal. It's a God-like thing that He wants to work in all of us, to become an honoring person. Not just to give us honor, but to become a person who gives honor. Let's just quickly think of some of the places in Scripture where it talks about, commands us to honor. All right, we all know the first one, right? Honor your father and your mother. Okay, God commands us. That's not a suggestion. He says, people, honor your mother and father. Exodus 20. Proverbs 3, it says, honor the Lord. Honor the Lord with the first fruit of your substance, with all your increase. Honor God. It says in many other places to honor God. It says in Leviticus 19, honor the aged. When the gray-haired man comes in, stand up. Don't just sit there on that chair. Get up. Honor that man or that woman. He says, give double honor to elders. 1 Timothy 5:17. Oh, by the way, I wanted to thank you all for we really felt that double honor the other week down there at Mel's cabin. We just want to thank you all for giving to us and blessing us like that. That, you don't know how much that means to you know, receive those cards of affirmation and to just know that, you know, people appreciate and care. So I just want to thank you all for that and bless you all. And I believe you did. You did give that double honor. So thank you. It says in 1 Peter, honor all men. Well, that covers it. Honor everybody. And then he says after that, honor the king too. In other words, the authorities. The king represents law, rule, authority, as well as the man. Honor your employer. It says it right there in 1 Timothy 6:1. Let those who have believing masters give them all honor. Let those all that are under the yoke, but let all who are slaves give all honor to their masters, not even believing masters. We'll look at that later. I'm just going over these real quick right now. Okay, it says we're supposed to honor our wife. 1 Peter chapter 3, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. I mean, this command of in every facet of our life, God says, honor your parents, honor your employer, honor God, honor the poor, honor the strangers, honor the aged, honor your husband, Titus 2. Honor is God's will for your life and my life. He's making us into His image. He's making us like Him. Dishonor, we're going to look at some verses later. Dishonor actually tarnishes the image of God when it's in His children. It actually, it says, blasphemes the doctrine and the name of the Lord. We're going to look at that later. So we want to get into a real practical thing here, all right, today. I hope I've shown you that honor is God's will for you, to give it to you, and for you to give it to others. I want to get practical. How are we going to do that? How are you going to become a person like God? You know, it takes effort. It takes some will of our own to do things. Yes, God gives us the will, too, but we got to act on it with His Spirit and follow through. Well, first of all, we honor God. It's got to start there. If you don't want to honor God, do you think you're going to want to honor people? No, and God puts it in us, the desire to honor Him. We talked about the different ways to do that. The one way, you know, was giving. Just in Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your substance. That's saying to God, Lord, You're the most important. Everything I have came from You, God. And every ability I have, the ability to make money, the ability to give, it all came from God. So, Lord, I'm going to honor You with something, you know, to express that and just let You know that You're the most important one to me, and I acknowledge that. It's true. I mean, if he just withholds one pinch of his grace, we don't have any money. We don't have anything. So first thing is to honor the Lord. Let's just hear a few thoughts. Maybe just to speak them out. How do we show forth honor to God?
Helping
other people. All right. Helping others honors God. That's right. What else?
Extending grace to others as He has extended to us.
Okay. Extending grace to others. He has extended to us. Through our tithing, Malachi. Yeah. That honors God. I mean, how about spending a quiet time with Him every day? The word honor in the Old Testament means weight. It means something heavy. If God is a heavyweight in your life, you're going to want to spend some time with Him, right? I mean, yeah, that's important. That honors God. Because it says, I'm not going to just go rush into my day and do everything I need to do, but I'm going to take some time to get quiet and to get some food for my soul and to let God speak to me and for me to speak to God. It honors God when we spend time with Him. All right? We can think of many different ways that we honor God. Our first night, last weekend, I talked about that God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That's His name. That's who He says He is. Honoring God says, Lord, You're the beginning and the ending of everything. God, I want everything I do to begin with You, and I want everything I do to end with You. Isn't that honoring God as the Alpha and Omega? Because that's who He is. Is He the beginning and the ending in your life? Is He the reason why you do what you do? He should be. That's honoring God. All right, what about marriage? We already talked about this. There's several verses that speak about honor in marriage. Husbands, giving honor to your wives, 1 Peter. Wives, honor your husbands, Titus 2. It doesn't exactly say the word honor in Titus 2. It says the wife is commanded to be obedient to her husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That word means to put herself under. To come underneath, put herself under. That's honoring. You know, this thing of honor can make a 2 marriage into a 10, I believe. If you see marriages that aren't very good, you're not going to find much honor in them, I guarantee you. When you see a marriage that's great, that you would say, this is a 10. I mean, 1 to 10, this thing's a 10. There's plenty of honor there. There has to be. See, honor is an expression of love. This thing, if you can get a hold of it, can change your marriage. If your marriage is a 2 or a 4 or a 7 or whatever, this can make the difference to give you a marriage that's blessed. Praise, I said earlier, was verbalized honor. You know, if you give a decision to place high value, worth, and importance on another, well, when you verbalize that, you praise them. And I wanted to encourage us, praise our spouse. Praise your spouse. Praise them for what you can. Praise her for her cooking. Praise her for her how she looks, that she pleases you. Praise her for how hard she works. Praise her for her wisdom. Praise her for everything. Praise is honor being verbalized. Praise Him. Praise Him for His strength. Praise Him for His provision. Praise Him for His leadership. Praise Him for whatever you can. Praise Him by faith for something that you don't think you can. Praise Him. We're talking about honoring each other. You know, it says an awesome verse, Proverbs 14:1. It's a sad verse. It says, a wise woman buildeth her house, But the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. When my children were younger, we did what we call a board lesson. I drew a picture of two ladies. The one was putting a roof on top of the house, nailing up there, she had a little veil on, you know. The other lady had a sledgehammer, and she was going like this, and rocks were flying out of the side of the house. It was kind of amusing, you know. But it's really not amusing when those realities are there, is it? A wise woman builds her house. And same thing for men. A wise man builds his house. The foolish plucks it down with their hands. And I believe dishonor is one of the most prevalent methods that is used for that. We dishonor. We pluck it down with our own hands. You know, the Bible says we're one. If I say something about my wife that's dishonoring to her, who am I dishonoring? I'm just dishonoring myself. That's dumb. I want to praise her because then I get to praise myself. No, if you dishonor your spouse, you're only hurting yourself. I mean, I heard about this one fellow that, you know, every time company came, he would apologize for his wife's cooking. That's awful. That's shameful. Come on, man. Get it together. Don't you realize what you're doing? Dishonor. Destructive. You think that was destructive in that couple? How do you think she felt? You know, one of the worst things a woman can do to a man is to publicly dishonor him. Okay? Because we are proud. You know, God made us to be the man and the honorable and so forth. And if we ever get dishonored, it just... I can't think that my wife ever has done that to me. But never do that to your spouse. Never talk bad. The world, you know, the guys complain about their wife. She's this and that. Come on. That's destructive. That's from the devil. No, you build up your wife, even if she's not perfect, right? Any of you married to perfect wives? I can't raise my hand, but she's the perfect one for me, praise God. Hallelujah. Women, get the children pumped up when dad pulls into the driveway. My wife does that. She must do it because they come running out the door. And, you know, sometimes it's scary. I open my door and, whoa, someone's right there. And it's just like, really scares me. I wasn't expecting it. Get them pumped up when dad comes home. That's honoring. Hey, Papa's coming home. Great. Praise the Lord. Come on, let's go greet him. It's wonderful. You know, that there's nothing, that just makes us men feel so good. You know, I'm not the president of the United States, but I'm the king in my house. I'm the honored one where I am. I wouldn't want to be the president of the U.S. anyway. No, get those children pumped up when Papa pulls into the driveway. Never show public displeasure with them. It is your job to see that he gets honored. Did you know that? He can't do that for himself. We're not allowed to do that. We're not supposed to. That's pride. You know, that's. But it's your job. You can do that. You can see that he gets honored. And men, it's the same thing for us. Your job is to see that she is honored. Did you know that? It's your job. It comes with the territory. When you got married, God says you need to make sure she's honored. You need to make sure he's honored. It's not wrong to do that. It's right. We're talking about having a home that's full of honor. It starts right there with two people who make a choice that says, I'm going to honor my spouse. I'm going to honor God by honoring my husband. And I'm going to honor God by honoring my wife. And we're going to have a home that's full of honor, not dishonor. Men, open that door for her. You know, my wife and I, and just to say though, you ought to agree if you want to do that. I think that's a good thing. When we first got married, we heard someone suggest that. You should open the door for your wife. Well, I wasn't sure about that, but we talked about it. She said, well, you know, that would honor me. That would honor me if you'd open the door for me in the car. I said, all right, I agree, I'm going to do that. So we had an agreement. She said, I'm going to pray for you when you walk around the front of that car every time. So that's a good deal. So we've been doing that for almost 20 years. Is it because my wife is too weak to open that door? No. No, it's because I want to honor her. I want to show her that she's special. I want to give her that high place of value, worth, and importance. I'm going to open that door. Maybe that's a little thing. Maybe you don't want to do that, but you find other things that you do. How about this? Ask her for her opinion and feelings about things. Don't just be one of these guys who's got it all figured out, headstrong. I know where I'm going. You know, and she's just the wife. She doesn't understand. No, you ask her for her opinion. Dear, what do you think about this idea? I value you. You're important. That's honor. Make sure she's your best friend. How'd you like to live with your best friend? It's great. There's nothing better. If she's not there, tell her you want to get there. I want you to be my best friend. Maybe we're not there yet. Can we get there? What can we do to get there? I challenge us today. If God's speaking to your heart, if He's talking to you and saying, you know what? You can grow in this area. You can get better. Go home and talk about it. Go home and make some changes. That's revival. Let it be a new beginning. So let's start in the marriage, if you're married. All right, let's talk about another thing. Let's talk about employment. We already talked about that verse, 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6 and verse 1 says, let as many servants as are under the yoke, that means slaves, count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they're brethren, but rather do them service because they're faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Okay, I'm supposed to teach and exhort these things here today, it says right here. These guys were slaves, okay? I'm sure some of them had bad situations. I'm sure we know the history of slavery in our country. Were those slave owners all nice fellows that you should want to honor? No, some of them treated you like a piece of dirt, a possession. God says, count your own masters worthy of all honor. I'm telling you, this thing here can change your life. This thing here can be a witness to your boss who's unsaved, like maybe nothing else. Because guess what? He's hiring all kinds of people that don't know how to honor. Our society doesn't know about honor. The boss is just looked upon as some bad guy who's, you know, making lots of money and he doesn't care about us or whatever. We've lost the honor in our society. What happens when a young man or woman or an old man or woman comes along and has honor in their life and knows how to exude it? You have a witness for Christ. But likewise, what happens if someone comes along who names the name of the Lord and doesn't have honor, who does not have honor? It says here that the name of God and His doctrine would be blasphemed. That means to be defamed. We're witnessing on the job. We're telling everybody about Jesus. We just defamed God if we were a dishonoring person. That's not a little thing. 1 Peter 2, it actually says, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Not just to the bosses that are good bosses, you know, they treat everybody right. They don't treat you wrong. No, he says, even the guys that are froward. That's 1 Peter 2, 17 and 18. They're not good, they're not gentle, but they're froward. They're perverse. They're messed up. God says, treat them with honor. Now that takes some grace, doesn't it? See, I said this is something about God, the nature of God. It takes a little pain to work that into our life. It doesn't just come natural. God's going to maybe give you a boss that's tough on you, that pushes you and treats you wrong. Guess what? He's giving you an opportunity to show forth His praise, His virtue of honor, in spite of being mistreated. It can be a glorious thing. All right. Study to find out what their wishes are. Too many people have their own agendas. Hey, I'm here for my agenda. Hey, what about what's the boss's agenda, the man that hired you? Find out what he wants. Hey, do you want me to do it this way or that way? Doesn't matter to me. How do you want it? I just want to do it right so you're pleased. That's an honoring statement. You go to that boss, you ask him, how do you want me to do it? This way. You know, sometimes we think we can do it better. The boss says, look, do it this way here. You know, I don't know much about welding, but let's just say, you know, weld it. This much of a welding bead on, that's good enough. And you say, well, hey, that's not good enough for me. I like to do perfect work. I'm going to do that much of a welding bead. No, that's dishonor. You do what the boss says. If the thing falls apart, that's not your problem. That's on the boss. Do more than what's expected. Do more. Go the extra mile. We've heard that somewhere, haven't we? Yeah, do more. Never undermine their authority. Don't talk to other people who are saying, yeah, that boss, isn't he awful? Hey, I don't want to go there. I'm servant of the Lord. That'll stop them. Approach them humbly when you have an idea to do something better. Come humbly. Come like a servant. And if they say no, accept it graciously. Show gratitude to them for allowing you to work for them. These are things that can be a tremendous witness for Jesus Christ, because our world is so lacking. What will God do with a group of people like this? We all leave this building. We all say, I'm going to be like God. I'm going to be like Jesus was. I'm going to honor all men. I'm going to go to work tomorrow morning, and with God's help, somehow I'm going to find a way to honor my boss. And I'm going to honor him on Tuesday. And I'm going to let God do this in my life so I'm a man or a woman of honor. I guarantee you'll be blessed, and those around you. All right, let's look at another one. Let's look at parents. The very first commandment that God gave for people in their relations to other people was honor your father and your mother. It's the only positive one He gave in the Ten Commandments about our relations with others. Everything else was don't do that, don't do that. Don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't covet, don't kill. But the first one He said was, do this, honor your mother and father. And guess what? If you learn how to honor your mother and father, you're not going to kill somebody. You're not going to steal. You won't commit adultery. You won't lie. You will have become a person who knows how to honor. And honoring people don't do that stuff. God knew that. That's why He put that one first. And you know, parents, if we don't demand obedience in our home, we are doing our children a tremendous disservice. You're setting their life up for ruin. You're setting them up for missing the blessing that God wants to give. I'm not talking about being a mean, dictatorial, you know, tough tyrant. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm just simply talking about my word is my word. When we say we're going to do this, we're going to do this. We're not going to do it a different way. You must obey. It's done with love. It's done with care. If it's not, it won't work anyway. It has to be done that way. But if we don't do that, you know, we tend to just let things go. I catch myself doing it. I tell my son or my daughter, go do this. And I walk away without seeing that they did it. And then I come back and they didn't do it. Well, if we let that happen, We are training our children in doing something. We're training them that it really doesn't matter what your authority says as long as they walk away and don't see you. We've got to be on the ball. We've got to do it. We must teach honor to our children. And it's not about honoring me. It's not, you need to honor me because I'm the dad. No. It's not about me at all. It's, you need to honor me because I am your father, but because God tells you to and He wants to bless your life. And He said, if you don't do it, your life is cursed. So come on, let's do it God's way. What's the promise if you obey your parents and honor your parents? That it may go well with thee and that you may live long on the land the Lord thy God giveth thee. Living long and having everything go well. Wow. Isn't that what everybody wants? God said, I'll give it to you. All you got to do is this. Honor your father and mother. It's not a little one. We need to help each other. You know, sometimes my wife helps me there. I'll say something and I'll walk away and she'll say, she'll make sure that they follow through. She's my helper. Likewise, I do the same. We got to be a team. If there's a division, forget it. It's not going to work. If there's a unity, it's going to work. We had this experience just the other week with our one of our young ones at the breakfast table, and we were praying maybe. Is that what it was? And yeah, and she was dishonoring, not doing what we said to do. And both of us, as soon as the prayer was over, we both reached over and just went like this at the exact same second. And she just was, she didn't cry, but she just realized, wow, these guys are together. I mean, she said, I'm done. I got to do what they say. Because there was sort of a startled look on her face. Well, we used that again, and another time it happened. This time she didn't want to eat her food. And we did the same thing, and she just, okay. When we're united, there's power. That's the right message to say. When we're disunited, we're teaching our children dishonor to the Lord and dishonor to ourselves. We've got to be united on that thing. All right. Here's one. How are you going to honor your parents? I'm speaking to those who now you're a child in the home. You obey them with a good attitude. Did you catch that part? The good attitude part? You obey them with a good attitude. That's honor. If you walk away rolling your eyes, all right, you know, yeah, I'll do it. That's not honor. You may have obeyed, but you didn't honor. The command is to honor your father and mother. Did you know you can actually teach yourself? And parents, we can teach our young children to obey with a good attitude. You can do it. It's a choice that you make. It's a choice, especially for those of you young people that are saved. It's a choice that you make that says, I'm choosing to have a good attitude when my father and mother ask me to do something. You can find great joy in doing that if you do it as unto the Lord and as unto your parents. And I guarantee you, you'll find great blessing in it. I guarantee you on the authority of God's Word. We need to teach our little ones that, men, women. It's not just do what I said, but we do it cheerfully. Immediately, completely. Hey, we have to work at it. It takes time. But guess what? They can learn. I have children that have learned how to do that. Not because they always feel like it, but because they learned to do it. They chose it. At some point, they said, I'm going to choose that. That's a great blessing to give to somebody. That's not being a mean parent. That's blessing your children. All right, speaking now to, let's say, youth. This is probably more geared there. How can you honor your parents? Well, here's something. You remind yourself often that there may be some things that they want you to do that you won't be able to fully understand and appreciate until you've gone down the road some more and gained more experience. You know, there are things like that. So don't be so quick to blow off their convictions and applications of Scripture. You may not understand it yet. You haven't seen everything that we've seen. That's a way to choose honor and to choose to follow, is to tell yourself, remind yourself of that, because it's a fact. I know, I grew up and I learned. Things I didn't understand, they made sense after I'd seen a lot of people go down roads and seen how it came out. When you blow those things off because you're a young person who has a lot of good ideas and so forth, you don't know what you might be doing to your life. You may be setting yourself up for some trouble. Now, what about, some of you may be thinking here, okay, I'm out of the house, I'm grown, I'm married. What about honor now? Does the Bible say we stop honoring our parents when we leave the home? I can't find any verse like that. We're not to obey them. And especially for those of us who have unsaved parents, let's say, you know, who want you to go their way. They want you to come back to the church. My upbringing was Catholic. My parents wanted me to come back to the Catholic Church. They asked me, wouldn't you consider this? I couldn't consider that. And I had to tell them that. But you know what? You can tell them that in a way that honors them. You don't have to tell them, I can't go back to that wicked system, that Satan's, you know, seat and this Antichrist, whatever. You know, you don't need to go there with them. You can tell them in a way that honors them. And when God makes you and is making you into a man and woman of honor, you'll find ways. Okay, my mother's a giver. She loves to give stuff. And guess what? She wanted to give lots of things to my children as they grew up. Well, I didn't want those books with witches and, you know, ghosts and those clothes that didn't fit our, you know, didn't go with modesty. You can tell her, hey, we don't want this ungodly stuff in our home. Well, that dishonors. Or you can say, you know, Mom, I'm so glad that you're a giver. I really appreciate that about you, Mom. You've always been that way. And I love that about you. I want to be more like that. And you know, but you know, Mom, these books, I just got to tell you, we have our convictions, you know, about demons and witches, and those things are not of the Lord. And I just don't feel good about our children reading that. I wonder, Mom, how would you feel about buying some of these books from Ken's Joys, you know, for the children? Oh, well, yeah, that'd be fine. I'd like to do that. You see what I mean? You don't have to dishonor them. Hey, can you go to the beach party with us? All the children are getting together. We've had that happen. Well, no, we can't do that. Sorry. We don't feel comfortable going to the beach in July. Can we do this? How about if we do this? I'd love to get together with y'all. We really love you. You know, we want to keep a relationship. There's ways to honor, even when you can't do what they say for you to do. I want to encourage us in that. Because I know many of us, we've left backgrounds that we were raised in. And, you know, what a witness to our parents when they sense, hey, they honor me. Even though they can't go my way, even though they you know, they make it very clear that I've got to serve the Lord and this or this is not something I can do. Yet, you know what? They honor me. I sense that honor. I challenge us all to cultivate that in our life. Christmas gifts, that was something we had to work on too. And we found another way to work around that thing. All right, we're getting to the end here. I don't want anybody to feel in bondage if you have parents who condemn you because you left something of your background. Please don't go there. But honor your parents. That's what I'm saying. Honor them in spite of the fact that you can't do whatever. You know, I can't. Whatever it is, you can honor them in it. How about children? Do we need to honor them? Are they people? It says honor all men. They're people. You know, sometimes we dishonor our children. How much weight do they have? A decision to place high value, worth, and importance on another person. How much value, weight, and importance do your children have? Are they heavy enough in your life that you can set aside a season with them? Once every whatever. Hey, I'm going to get together with you. We're going to do something you like. We're going to have a good time. We're going to share our hearts. That's honoring. And that goes a long way. Ask for their opinion about things. What do you think? I do that a lot when I'm getting a sermon together. You know, hey, children, can you help me? Give me some examples here. They love that. That's honoring to them. Hey, he wants something. He thinks I can help him do a sermon. Well, yeah, I do. I've gotten some great ideas. They are honored by that. They're people too. And if they give you one of those half-baked ideas when you ask them, that's okay. You don't need to tear them down. You weren't so good baked either at one time, right? No, let's honor them. Let's make our homes be places where there's honor for everybody. You listen to them. Listen to what they have to say. I was telling my children last night, one of my youngest ones, they don't know how to do a conversation yet, but they do know how to do a versation. A versation is where you just talk. Conversation is where you're with is two people. Sometimes we need to listen to the versations. Then they'll want to talk about the conversations when they get older, right? Never humiliate them publicly. That tears down honor. Tears down relationship. All right, we're coming to the close here. Elders, we talked about that already, you know. The Bible says give them double honor. And we feel, you know, we're so blessed with you all. I just thought of a couple points here. Hebrews 13 and verse 17 speaks about allowing yourself to be persuaded by your elders. That's honoring. It actually says, obey them that have the rule over you. I don't particularly like that. I don't think if you look up those Greek words, it's closer to allow yourself to be persuaded. I'm not your ruler. I don't want to be your ruler. But I do want to be able to speak into your life, be able to give you something and have you be able to say, hey, I'm willing to check that out, Brother Paul. I'm willing to hear you. I'm willing to allow myself to be persuaded. You know what? I don't see it right away, but I've had to do that here. Many different ways. Since I've come here 16 years, I've had to allow myself to be persuaded about some things that I didn't quite see. Well, that's honoring to your elders. It says in that same verse, it says that they may do it with joy and not with grief. You know, it's a grief. It is a grief when you have those who don't allow themselves to be persuaded. I don't see it that way. I'll never see it that way. I can't believe it. That brings grief. But oh, it's a joy when we allow ourselves to be persuaded, when we're open. Never criticize your leaders, and especially in front of your children. You know, never. You're only tearing down honor of your church and of really your own honor as well. I've never said anything to my children about my church or my leaders. They never heard anything like it. I hope they never will. That's destructive. And lastly, I just wanted to say something short about strangers. We were really blessed there in Allen County. when we arrived at the fellowship, and just how friendly they were. I didn't know anybody there except for Abe Graber and Steve Miller. But after the first night, you know, my son came over to me and he said, "Hey, Papa, these people are really warm culture." I mean, all these boys came up to me and said, "How you doing?" And asked me questions, and it was great. They're so friendly. That's honoring. Let's be that kind of a church. And I'll talk about that actually earlier. Yeah, let's honor the stranger. Let's get interested in their life. Let's make them feel welcome. Let's give hospitality to them. All right, I'll close with this statement. Are you seeking for glory and honor and immortality? Are you seeking for that? And are you allowing God to make you become a person who honors Him and everyone around you? Let's be that. What might God do if we could all get a hold of this message today? Go home and talk about it. Husbands and wives, children. Let's have some of that in our home. Let's let God work His nature into us. I believe I see beautiful things in my mind of faith, of what God can do. Thank you all for listening. God bless you.
Honor all men. I think we've probably all seen areas of need in our hearts this morning in regards to this message on honor. Why don't we just kneel in prayer and just bear our hearts before the Lord. We'll just be quiet before the Lord, and each one can pray. Father, we thank You for Your word to our hearts this morning. Thank You, Lord, for Your faithfulness in giving us what we need. Father, we bow our hearts before You. We give You, Lord, honor and glory, and praise with our lips. But Father, we desire that our lives day by day would show forth honor to You. And Lord, also to each other as brothers, as sisters in Christ, as children to their parents, and all that we heard this morning. Father, give us grace. Give us grace to honor, to place high value on every human being, those even in this lost world that we live in. Lord, as we connect with people who are yet in their sins, Lord, who have not experienced the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, give us grace to honor all men, Lord, to be at a place where we place high value on every human being we meet. Give us grace to honor the stranger, Lord, and the visitor who enters these doors. Oh, Father, we pray for Your grace this morning, Lord. We desire to honor each other. We desire to honor You and to place high value and high esteem, Lord, to You and to each other. And we pray for Your grace, Father. I know I've failed, so I've heard the message this morning. So we look to You, Lord, to change us in this area, to take us, like Brother Paul said, from one glory to the next. Lord, take us to the glory of honor, of honoring one another. So Lord, we look to You in faith for this, believing You to work this into the fiber of our spiritual being. As families, as individuals, and as a church body, Lord, work it into us. We look to You in faith, and we thank You. Thanks again for Your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. I trust God has touched all of our hearts in regards to the word that was spoken this morning. May God help us to honor. Be that place of honor. I don't think I have more to share, but get your hand up if you want the mic and have a comment or a testimony or a confession. maybe this morning that you have, that you want to just bear your heart with and to the congregation and need prayer in perhaps. So get your hand up, brothers, sisters. Here we have one, Robert, or do we have one there?
I want to thank you for your hospitality and your patience with me over several years now. I don't know if it's 5 or 6 or what it is, but I'm still struggling, growing slowly, and definitely appreciate the message. It's a tough one. The best book I ever read was A Gift of Honor. It was a tremendous thing to give honor to people who don't deserve it, but we owe it to them. And I want to thank everybody here for their hospitality and their kindness, and continue for prayers for my wife and I that we would one day exemplify the biblical model of marriage. And again, I thank you for thank you all.
Thank you, Paul. Amen. Lester.
My mind just went to what actually made the division in heaven was a dishonor. Lucifer dishonored God, and he dishonored his the other angels. He was complaining over them. So if we start complaining, it's a dishonor. I fully agreed with what Paul brought the message. Thank you for that message. It spoke to my heart.
Others care to share? In the back here.
It was a blessing for me to, Brother Paul, when you shared the little example of how we can honor our parents, like you telling your mother, you know, I appreciate the way you give, the way you always have given. That was a blessing to hear that and to realize that, yes, I can do that. I want to do more of that, to see the value of what each person has, whether they are walking with Christ or not walking with Christ, but see what they have to offer and then to magnify that. I was encouraged by that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, Eve. Sisters, any of you? Here we have one in the front.
I praise the Lord for the opportunity He's given me at my job to glorify His name. I have a non-believing boss, and I have gotten a lot of honor back for all the honor I have given to her. She will ask my opinion on how we should do things and what I think, and we talk a lot, and she's commented several times how she's she says she wishes she would have 10 employees like me, because all the others, you know, most of them don't give the honor. And I just praise the Lord that He gave me He allowed me to grow up in a home where I learned how to honor and give back the praise that God deserves.
Amen. Anyone else? Somebody else have the other mic, John, or not? Okay. Here we have Sister Yen. Go ahead, Jean.
Excuse me. Yes, I'd like to honor my husband. The Lord blessed him with 85 years yesterday. And I do believe it's because he has honored his parents. He has promised long life. Mm-hmm. And I just thank God for him.
Amen. You know, honor is a testimony. It's a testimony to honor each other. Just really a little story that happened this week. Marlon called me the other day and asked if I could go into the hospital to visit someone that I'll come back to the rest of the story there. But anyway, this man was desiring for one of us to come in and minister to him. And the night before, a group of people went into an adjoining room and sang for an older person. Yes, it was your grandmother, Marlon, right? And so a group of people were singing for her, and this man next door in an adjoining room heard this singing taking place. And so, when you think about it, this group of people was honoring this dying grandmother of Marlon's and singing praises to the Lord and just ministering to her in that way. Well, anyway, the man wanted the group to come over and sing for him. And he said he thought he heard some angels singing. And his wife said, no, they're not angels. They're just a group of people next door here who are singing for an individual. So anyway, the group came over and sang for him. And here he was terminally ill. He has cancer of the liver and only has maybe a few more days or a few more weeks to live. That's what the doctors are giving him. So they sang for him, and I guess one of the group there just shared with him the gospel briefly, and here the man desired salvation, and so the group began to minister to him there, and they ministered to him briefly, and then Marlon called me and asked if I could go in the following day. And so then Brother Amos Kaufman and his family and myself went in there Friday evening to minister to him and further, just see where he's at. So through that, the man was led to salvation. Yesterday we went in and before his whole family, before his wife, his mother, his two sisters were there and their in-laws and their spouses. And their one daughter was there and the one son. We baptized the man. And he's staying at a hospice center in up in Mount Joy. So Harry's his name. Pray for Harry. He only may have a few days left to live. He's a strong-bodied man. It's amazing. He has a beautiful family, 54 years old. But you know, those people, that group of people honored that grandmother through singing, through ministering to her, and another soul was saved through it. Praise God.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.